Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. We hope that this podcast is used by God to help us all grow closer to Jesus Christ. If you would like to get connected to our church or give to the mission, you can visit our website at thegospelchurch.com. Now for this week's sermon.
So thankful to be back and preaching with you again in the room. For the month of December, I was completely away. Me and my wife welcomed our daughter into the world, and I got to spend some great time with them, getting no sleep, but some quality time all together. So, man, I am so excited to be back with you all today, and Happy New Year. Hope you guys are enjoying the one day of 2022. I still feel like we're in 2020. Anybody else feel like that? It's like, is this just 2020 the third time, it seems like? Like, my sense of time is just totally just off, right? And I saw this meme that I saw somebody post, and I think this is true of how we should enter into 2022, okay? It says, nobody claim 2022 as your year. We're all going to walk in real slow, be good, be quiet, and don't touch anything. Like, that's how I think we're all feeling. We're like, okay, what does 2022 have in store for us? But Happy New Year, and with a new year comes, maybe some of you in the room are already kind of taking some time to create some New Year's resolutions. And you're looking at the year, you're assessing how last year went, you're looking towards this next year and saying, hey, what do I want this year to look like? So if you're creating resolutions, maybe that looks like, I want to work out more. I want to lose some weight. I want to maybe pick up a new hobby and pick up a new instrument. Maybe in Christian circles, some that you will hear often is, I want to grow in my relationship with Christ. I want to pray more. I want to read the Bible all the way through for the first time ever. And as great as these aspirations are, and these resolutions are, research would show that actually our resolutions are only aspirations. So research says this, according to research, about 60% of us admit that we make New Year's resolutions, but about 8% of us are successful in achieving them. So if you are wanting to create a resolution, there's a 90% chance you are not going to keep it. So aren't you glad I'm sharing these encouraging and inspirational stats with you, maybe as you're planning your own resolutions? But we've all experienced this, right? Like, how many times have you said, hey, I want to hit the gym more this year, and you go one or two times the first few weeks, and then by February, you're like, yeah, budgeting-wise, we should probably cancel that membership. Or you decide, hey, I want to start a healthier diet, and you stick with it for a few weeks, and you see little results, and you're like, you know what, this is not worth it at all. Or you say, hey, I want to read the Bible through this whole year, and you start in Genesis, and it's your fifth time going through Genesis because you start at the beginning of every January, and you never make it to Exodus, right? We've all been there before. And there's a very good reason for us coming up short, because these resolutions oftentimes are big, ambiguous goals. And just think about it. If you want to lose 20 pounds, maybe you want to save $10,000, you want to read all 66 books of the Bible. These are massive goals that if you really just take a step back and you try to figure out, like, how am I going to daily accomplish this? It can become super overwhelming to say, here's how I'm going to actually carry out this big and lofty resolution. And most of us, we just want to jump ahead and skip over the daily little actions that it takes to achieving the big results. We want to lose the pounds without committing to the discipline of a diet and working out. We want to save thousands of dollars without it affecting our spending budget. We want to read the whole Bible without actually having to read Leviticus and all those boring books that we didn't even know were in the Bible. But it's in the everyday mundane disciplines that real change happens. It's in the small disciplines that lead to big results. The small disciplines lead to big results. And in almost all things in life, we want the big results without staying committed to the small disciplines, especially when it comes to our relationship with God. I know that's true for me, and I think it's safe to say it's probably true for you. I think D.L. Moody captured the sentiment that many of us have when it comes to our relationship with God when he said this. He said, there are many of us who are willing to do great things for the Lord, but few of us are willing to do the little things. Let me say that again. There are many of us who are willing to do great things for the Lord, but few of us who are willing to do the little things. And that's why we're kicking off a series as we kick off 2022 that we are calling Habits. And specifically habits that will help us achieve what I hope is for you a resolution that you will have this year as you enter into a new year, is to grow closer to God and to become more like Him. And over the next 7 weeks, we're going to take a look at habits that will help us actually achieve this big, lofty goal of becoming more like Jesus and growing closer to Him. And today, we're going to be setting up this series by answering the question, why do habits matter? Why do habits matter? And then over the next 6 weeks after that, we will break down a habit a week and look at how we can cultivate those habits in our lives to help us grow closer to Jesus. And as we jump into this topic, I think it will be helpful for all of us to be on the same page of when we say the word habit, what we're actually meaning with that. So here's the definition that we're going to use throughout this entire series. It's this, is that a habit is an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has almost become involuntary, a dominant or regular disposition or tendency, prevailing character or quality. And now I know when you hear the word habit, maybe for you it somewhat has a negative connotation. When you hear the word habit, you may think of, it could be of smoking, it could be of alcoholism or a drug addiction. I want to kick that habit. Or something simply just unappealing or annoying, like biting your nails or chewing loudly with your mouth open. Or as we've all been living on Zoom lately, you always forget to mute your mic on Zoom on a video conference, right? Maybe it's a negative connotation, but the reality is habits can also save our lives. If you're driving down the road, when you see a yellow light, there's a habit of pumping the brakes. There's looking both ways before you cross an intersection, putting your seatbelt on when you get in the car. If you watch sports, habits are what makes Steph Curry the best shooter there has ever been in the NBA, Mike Trout the best baseball player there is, and Tiger Woods the most dominant golfer over the years. It's habits that help them achieve those big results. And habits are something that we should be thankful for. They're actually a gift from God, and God Himself created them when He created us. He helps us make decisions that take time and energy, and He gives us habits that keep us from having to make the same decisions over and over again. Charles Duhigg, he wrote a book called The Power of Habit, and he says this about habits. He says, habits, scientists say, emerge because the brain is constantly looking for ways to save effort. Left to its own devices, the brain will try to make almost any routine into a habit because habits allow our minds to ramp down more often. So habits are powerful. And here's something that we may not think about often, but your habits are one of the most important things about you. Your habits reveal what has captured your heart and also what is shaping your heart. Our habits are windows into the deep things of our soul. If you just were to take a careful assessment of someone's habits and just dissect them, you would pretty easily be able to see what they care about and what is shaping them. But our habits not only show our hearts, they shape them as well, and we're always reinforcing habits or we're creating new ones. Like, just think about it. If you, in your morning routine, you have a habit of most likely waking up early or sleeping in. When you reach for your phone when you're bored or in a socially uncomfortable situation, that's a habit that I think many of us have, and hopefully we can try to break. If you work out, you have a habit of maybe when you leave work, you go work out, or when you wake up early, you've created a habit where you almost involuntarily go to the gym. If you read scripture and spend time with God often, you've created a habit of you going to a time and place where you do that. And these habits can seem small and mundane, but over time, they make a big difference. And this goes for both good and bad habits, right? It's kind of like this. Right before Christmas, I was in our master bedroom, and I reached down. I needed some new toothpaste, so I reached down to grab a new box of toothpaste, and when I did, I found a box that was completely soaked with water. Like, it just fell apart when I picked it up, which is always fun to find that you have a leak in your house right before the holidays. And not only was it in the cabinet of our master bedroom, but it had gone all the way down to our kitchen ceiling. So I found the cause, or the effect of this leak before I found the cause. So I had to go upstairs and figure out why in the world this was leaking. And I found that there was a rusted O-ring in the faucet, which I had no clue about. Thank you, YouTube, to help me fix this. But the reality was I found the effect of the leak before I found the cause. And for so many of us, that's how it goes with our habits. We look at our life and say, I can't believe I am I'm here. Why is this? Why am I at this result? And ultimately, the bad effect causes us to look back and say, what is the cause of this? What we find is we neglect the small things in our life, and then we get frustrated when the results aren't exactly what we wish they were. And we let our habits form us rather than us intentionally forming our habits. We let our habits form us rather than us intentionally forming our habits. And this happens in so many areas of our life, but I want us to zoom in on our relationship with God and look at how our habits shape our relationship with Him. So the goal of this series is to focus on those habits that will help us grow closer to Jesus and make us more into His image. The habits that we're going to be focusing on are the spiritual disciplines that will help us cultivate godliness and holiness in our lives. So if you feel maybe you're entering this year and you just feel like you are far from God, maybe you feel like the past few years you've just neglected your relationship with the Lord, or maybe you're even walking in here or you're tuning in online and you're saying, hey, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord, but this year I'm at least seeing if this might be something that I want to pursue. And here's my prayer during this series, is that this would re-engage, as we talk about habits, spending time with God, that it would re-engage you and it would help you invest in your relationship with Him, and that you would see Jesus as more beautiful than you ever have before. So let's hop in. If you have a copy of the scriptures with you today, and I hope that you do, you can turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 6 through 10, and then a little bit later, we're going to be jumping over to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. And if you do not have a Bible, you can find one at the end of your row. You can turn to the passage there. And if you don't have a Bible, you can take that one with you. That is our gift to you. So why do habits matter, specifically when it comes to our relationship with God? I think in Scripture we see three callings on our life when it comes to habits. The first is going to be found in 1 Timothy. The second two are going to be found in Ephesians chapter 4. So in 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to his spiritual son, his spiritual protege, Timothy, and he's writing to him to say, hey, here is how to walk out the Christian life. Specifically, he's having to combat false teachers, and he's saying, here's what you need to hold true to. And here's what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. He says, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed, but have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. For the training of the body is limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason, we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Now, in this passage, I want us to focus specifically on verse 7, what Paul says to Timothy. He says, train yourself in godliness. Train yourself in godliness. That's the first calling that we see in Scripture. We are called to train ourselves in godliness. Now, in order for us to create habits, we have to understand the why behind why we are trying to create those. And for us who are Christians in this room or are tuning in online, the calling on our lives is to become more like Jesus, to become holy, to become righteous like He is righteous. And this is the calling on every Christian's life. This is why Paul says elsewhere in Romans 8:29, he says, For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. God's eternal plan for every Christian is to ultimately be conformed to Christ-likeness. God's desire for you and me is to live the way that Jesus lived His life, to reflect His image in our lives so that others can see Him. And even though we don't do this perfectly, we'll never do this perfectly on this side of heaven, God intends and desires for us to grow in holiness. And we aren't called to just sit and wait for holiness to come to us. We are called to pursue it. So holiness and godliness is the end goal for us as Christians. But it is not our holiness or good deeds that qualifies us to have a relationship with God. It is God sending his son to die on the cross for us that qualifies us to have a relationship with him. We are not trying to earn his favor. We are simply trying to place ourselves in his path so that we can learn more about him. We can never produce enough good works or righteous deeds that will make us right in his eyes. He has to look at us and see Jesus. We have to give our life to Christ in order for that to happen. So we come before God because of his grace that he extended to us. David Matthes, in his book about the spiritual disciplines, it's called the Habits of Grace, gives us the primer to the motivation behind our habits. He says this: before turning our focus to the habits that ready us to go on receiving God's grace in our lives, this must be clear from the outset. The grace of God is gloriously beyond our skill or technique. The habits of grace are not about earning God's favor, twisting his arm, or controlling his blessing, but readying ourselves for consistent saturation in the role of his tides. I love that last line. The goal of our habits and the training is to constantly and consistently place ourselves in God's endless ocean of grace towards us, and to see that every single day, and to be just overwhelmed by it so that it changes our lives. And the great news is, once again, we are not on our own in order to do this. If you are in Christ, he has given you the Holy Spirit to be your counselor and your coach when it comes to the process of becoming holy. And the presence of the Holy Spirit causes us to have new holy hungers. He changes our most want-tos. He gives us new desires. And I think if we were to go around in this room, for those who are in Christ, we would all have a story of where all of a sudden, whether it's scripture, whether it's prayer, something that we used to find boring and irrelevant all of a sudden became one of our deepest passions that we wanted to pursue. We couldn't put down scripture. We couldn't stop praying to the Lord. He changes our desires. So when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within us and gives us the desire for holiness. That is the goal. So if that's the goal, every Christian should ask themselves the question, how then can I pursue holiness? How can I become more like Christ? And that's what Paul is writing to Timothy. We find a clear answer in 1 Timothy 4:7. He says, train yourself in godliness. I love how the Amplified Version puts it. It says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. In other words, if your purpose is godliness, which it is if the Spirit dwells within you, then how do you pursue it? You pursue it by disciplining yourself for holiness. And this is where the term spiritual disciplines come from. This is where the idea of habits originate, as David Matthes calls them in his book, The Habits of Grace. And these spiritual disciplines or habits of grace are the practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth. They are habits of devotion and experiential Christianity that have been practiced by the people of God since the biblical times. This is nothing new. This is looking at Scripture and saying, this is how God told us to grow in him. And he's revealed to us certain channels through which he regularly pours out his grace towards us. And we would be foolish not to orient our life around those and build habits to grow in them. So that habits are fueled by God's grace, but we are also called to pursue them in our own effort. This is why Paul says, train yourself for godliness. Discipline yourself for growth. Fill your mind and heart with God as much as possible and practice his ways over and over again. In the original Greek, the word train that Paul uses here is the word gymnasia, which you can probably hear it, is our word for gymnasium or gymnastics. It means to exercise or discipline. So this word is a sweaty word. It sounds like the gym, right? When you go to the gym. And in the same way, for us, when we practice the spiritual disciplines, if you were to, maybe this morning or on a normal morning for you, is you would pick up the word of God and you would open it and you would read scripture and you would pray to the Lord, that is the same as you going to the gym. It is your spiritual exercise. And it's you growing in godliness the same way that is lifting weights would grow you physically. This is what we're called to do. We are called to train ourselves for godliness. So this is the why behind the habits. So if this is the why, then what's the how? Well, like I said, over the next 6 weeks, we will dive deep into six different disciplines that will look at the how of how we can cultivate these in our lives. But if we were just to look for a general overview in Scripture for how we cultivate habits in our lives and how we can pursue godliness in our lives, we find Paul three different times in three different letters give us the game plan of sanctification or the process of becoming holy. So he uses the same language in Romans 6 and Colossians 3 and in Ephesians 4. Let me just give you a quick summary. He says, put off the old self and put on the new self. Or another way to say it is, put off the habits of sin and put on the habits of holiness. And we're going to break each of these down, and these are going to be the second and third thing that we see in Scripture that we're called to do. So the second is this, is that we are called to put off the habits of sin. We are called to put off the habits of sin. And this calling comes straight from Scripture. Like I said, Paul shares this three different times in three different letters, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, he says this. Take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and in purity of the truth. This is the calling all throughout Scripture. It's the message that Paul repeats over and over again. If you remember in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. See, the old has passed away and the new has come. In Christ, we have been made completely new. As we said, we've been given a new heart with new desires. But we all know that even if we put our hope in Christ, we still have sinful habits. Those don't just go away automatically. So we must ask ourselves the question, why do we keep running back to those habits that lead us to sin? And the answer is the fall. Genesis 3, we are sinners by nature. We are hardwired for habits of sin. And we are constantly, even in Christ, we look back and say, you know, even before Christ, I think that would actually offer me more than what Christ would offer me now. And we have to constantly be retraining our hearts to say, no, Christ, what Christ offers me is better. I am going to pursue him, not the habits of my flesh. Our habit is to always run to the things of the world. But in Christ, we are called to run to the things of God. And as fallen human beings, as I said, we are hardwired with habits of sin. And what Paul is trying to get across in this passage is that we must retrain our hearts. Our habit currently is to run to the things of the world. We must train ourselves to run to the things of the Lord. And Paul's game plan for doing this is putting off the habits of the flesh and putting on the habits of holiness. And I love how Paul lays this out. And I've thought about it for many years, and over the years, I've come to just paraphrase it this way, is that we are to fight sin and pursue holiness. We are to fight sin and pursue holiness in our life. And when we put those two together, it's the same thing as Paul's saying here, and I think in our Christian culture today, I think when it comes to pursuing holiness, I think we do a decent job of this, at least talking about it. I think we like to talk about, hey, I was reading Scripture today. Here's what I learned. We like to repost Bible verses on social media. We like to talk to others about our prayer life. But when it comes to our culture currently, I think we have some room to improve when it comes to fighting sin. I think we've come too accustomed to let sin live in our lives and not kill it at the root. And we see all throughout Scripture over and over again a calling to flee sin. Not to let it hang out, but to kill it, to put it to death. And what this reminds me of, if you watched our Christmas online service just last week, I have been on a very big kick of Lord of the Rings. And this reminds me of Frodo and the one ring to rule them all and his journey to take that ring from the Shire, which is where he lives, to Mordor. He's been given this ring, and he's just a small little hobbit making his way to the most dangerous place in all of Middle-earth. And all along the way, this ring is weighing him down. It is bringing danger along the way. And when he finally gets to Mordor, he is called to throw this ring into the fire of a volcano from which it was forged. And he finally makes it to the end of the journey. And when he gets there, he's overlooking, and he's about to throw it into the fire, but he just can't do it. He's enticed by the power of the ring. So instead of throwing it over, he puts it on his finger and he succumbs to the power of the ring. And thankfully, if you've seen the movies or read the books, you know there was another character named Smeagol who was following them, leading them along the way, and he ends up getting on his back, biting off his finger, and he falls into the fire, and the ring is destroyed. But I think for many of us, when it comes to dealing with sin in our lives, we are standing right where Frodo was standing. And God is telling us, throw it over the edge. Throw it into the fire. Like, it needs to be destroyed in your life, but instead of throwing it over, we're looking at it and going, but I really like it. I don't really want a life without this sin. And we put it on. And what God is saying, he's saying, throw it over the edge. Put it to death. Put off the habit of sin that you are letting live in the darkness of your life. And I think for us, as we come into this series about habits, and absolutely want to cultivate habits that lead to holiness, but I think we would be doing a disservice to one another if we didn't mention the habits that we need to replace in our lives and actually kill at the root. And I love the way that John Owen, the old Puritan, put it. He said, be killing sin or it will be killing you. Be killing sin or it will be killing you. Sin is not something to play around with. It is not something to just let harbor and live in the darkness, because what is in the darkness will come to the light. And it is going to compete with trying to cultivate any new habit in your life that is trying to lead to holiness. So this morning, as we enter into a new year, as you're thinking, maybe you're assessing last year, you're looking at this next year, going into it, let me just challenge you and encourage you to just take some time and list the habits in your life and just think about them. And then I would even encourage you to be so bold as to pray the prayer of asking God to reveal the sin in your life, the habits that are leading you to sin. And let me just tell you, when you pray that prayer, be expectant to figure out some things. It's a scary prayer to pray. You'll just see them start popping up. You're like, man, I am a sinful person. And that's the reality. But we should be constantly assessing ourselves with that question. Is, Lord, where are the areas of my life that you're calling me to throw it into the fire? You are calling me to give it up because there is something better, to put off the habit of sin so that we can put on the habits of holiness. And that's the third calling that we see in Scripture, is that we are called to put on the habit of holiness. Put on the habits of holiness. And look again at what Paul says in verse 24. He says, put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. And as we said before, when you are in Christ and the Spirit is dwelling within you, you're going to have new desires. The new self will actually want to become holy. Yeah, there's going to be sin in your life, but there should be a desire to put it to death. And even though we have these new desires, holiness does not just happen. D.A. Carson puts it this way. He says, people do not drift towards holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. No one coasts into Christ-likeness. You don't just wake up and you're like, man, I became a lot more holy today. If you have, let me know the secret to that, because I do not know what that is. Any progress in godliness requires grace-driven effort. It's not to earn God's love, but it is pursued out of his love and his grace for you. It works something like this. I can flip a switch, but I do not produce electricity. I can turn on a faucet, but I am not the source of the water. There will be no light and no water without somebody else providing it for me. And the same is true for the Christian with the ongoing grace of God. His grace is essential to your spiritual life and our pursuit of holiness, but we do not control that supply. We can't make the favor of God flow towards us, but he has given us circuits that we can plug into and pipes that we can hook up to experience his grace over and over again. And Paul is telling us here to put on the new self by placing us in the path of God's grace over and over again. Putting on the habits of holiness means placing ourselves in a position to be made holy and grown into God's image consistently. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be focusing on spiritual disciplines to do just that. And here's what they're going to be. It's going to be reading the Bible, prayer, worship, stewardship, evangelism, and community. And there are more that we could add to that list, but we feel these are the most effective that shape us into the image of Christ. When it comes to discipline, maybe you hear that word and you're like, there's just so many connotations to that that I don't really love. But here's what Don Whitney says in his book, The Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life. He says, I can say that I've never known a man or woman who came to spiritual maturity except through discipline. Godliness comes through discipline. And I think that's true in our spiritual walk. That's true in so many things in our life, whether it's your career, whether it's your marriage, whether it's, you know, you played sports growing up. Discipline is what is needed in order to grow. And I love what Tom Landry, who was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys for almost three decades, said about this. He says, the job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. In the same way, Christians are called to make themselves do things that we don't necessarily want to do to become who we want to be. And in the Spirit's work in our lives, he's our coach. He's giving us that desire to do that. The best coaches understand that good habits start with practicing the fundamentals over and over again. If you grew up playing sports, you know when you showed up to practice and coach said, we're scrimmaging, it was like the best day. You're like, this is awesome. I just get to play the sport that I love. But where you actually improved was when you showed up and you did the boring drill over and over again and practiced the fundamentals. Because we all love the buzzer beaters and the game-winning touchdown, right? Which, by the way, if you're a Tennessee fan, that was a game-winning touchdown, but it was taken away from us in the bowl game. But the buzzer beater happens because you've put in so much work and practice that you've trained your body to respond in that way in the heat of the moment. And that's exactly what we're doing when we're putting on the habits of holiness and focusing on the spiritual disciplines. We are training our hearts in the ways of holiness so that when temptation comes our way, we run to God instead of running to sin. When somebody wrongs us, we forgive them rather than responding in anger. So that when our plans blow up, we trust God rather than doubting him. By practicing the spiritual disciplines and cultivating habits of holiness, we are retraining our hearts to act the way that Jesus would act in the heat of the moment. One of my favorite stories that I think conveys this idea is about a monk who prayed in the same spot every single day for 20 years. He would go into the temple, and it was a wooden floor, and he would kneel down and pray there every single day for 20 years. And over time, there was an indention of both of his knees left in the wooden temple floor. And because of spending that time every single day over and over again with God, he had an intimacy with God that so many others longed for. That's what we're trying to do. Not just make an indention in a wooden temple floor, or maybe it's your favorite chair where you spend time with the Lord. We are truly trying to let God make indentions in our hearts so that we look like him and we respond like him, we talk like him, we live like him, we care for others the way that he cared for others. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to focus on the habits that will lead us to spiritual growth. As I said before, so many times, if we're not careful, we can let our habits form us rather than us intentionally forming our habits. So my prayer for us as we dive into this series is that we would take seriously what Paul says to Timothy. And he says, train yourself for godliness. And as we do, we would look at our life and say, what do I need to put off? What are the habits of sin that are leading me to not be able to grow in holiness? And then next, what do I need to pursue? What are the things I need to add to my life and create those habits? So as we wrap up, here's just two questions I want to ask you, and even for you to just think about for the rest of the week and as we head into the new year. What are the habits in your life that you need to put off? What are the habits you need to put off? And hear me out. Maybe you walked into this room and you're like, oh my goodness, that list could go on and on and on. I don't even know if I should show up to church because of it. We're all works in progress here. We're all trying to fight sin and pursue holiness together, and you're in the right place if that's you. So what are the areas of your life that are causing you, the habits that are causing you to go into sin? Then second question is just simply, what do you need to cultivate in your life? What are the habits that you need to start doing to spend time with the Lord? We're called to fight sin and pursue holiness. What are the habits that we need to create to do just that? Let me pray for us.